a step-by-step approach to improving yourself and your organization, here's Alan Rodway.
Well, I don't know about you and your car, but I'm awake after hearing the start of that song. Alan Rodway, g'day.
How are you, Shivix? Don't you love your sound, man?
Oh,
he turns the volume up for you. It's fantastic.
Straight in the ears it went.
Good to see you, mate.
Thanks, Doz. Yeah, you too, buddy. How's it all going?
Very well, thank you. Very busy.
Good.
So we're going to talk about accountability today. We'll get straight into it. And I'll put this up front. There are two reasons why businesses who don't reach their potential don't get there. There's only two reasons. We'll dumb it right down. Firstly, they don't have enough ideas as to how to be good.
Yep.
And secondly, they're not good enough at implementing them even when they have those ideas. So this is all about accountability.
That's it. They're the only two.
Well, it is. Like, you either, if you've got really good ideas and you implement them, logic says, well, you're going to be fairly successful, aren't you? And it's a really good time to sort of follow Cobes's program, because in terms of the whole fit and well thing and people being fit and well and doing the exercise and that sort of stuff, that's where it falls down. I mean, who
Why are you looking at me?
No, I'm not looking at you, Shebex. I'll look through to the newsroom. Who doesn't have a really well – who can't get a well-designed fitness or wellness program? Well, you all can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how many do? I say, well, we make all these excuses, and that – those excuses are the theft of success and happiness, Shebex.
All right, so is accountability the same as accepting responsibility?
It's the first step, isn't it? And we were talking about that off air. It's the first step. You have to take responsibility for what's not working in your life and certainly what's not working in your business. So I'd say alongside that is do an honest evaluation of your own accountability. Now, you actually, because I've got to know you fairly well, you're a very honest person. You actually wouldn't hesitate to take responsibility for what's not working in your life.
Correct.
That's actually not that normal, though. There are a lot of people who won't conduct an honest evaluation themselves. And if I look at people who own businesses, run businesses, senior people in corporations and so on, it's actually very difficult for them to conduct a self-evaluation of their own accountability. Because a lot of other people won't tell them. It's like if you actually own the thing and you go to an apprentice or something and say, well, do you think I'm fully accountable to standards or what it is that I should do to make this a really good workplace or to be successful as a business? The apprentice may or may not tell them for fear of their own tenure or whatever it be. So the first step is, how accountable are you? Do that evaluation, but get genuine feedback from people around you, genuine feedback of, are you accountable in your behaviours or not? Because if people are telling you, oh, yeah, you are, mate, yeah, you are, it's okay, you're probably not really hearing the truth and you're not getting the avenues for improvement. Yeah,
okay.
So, big point.
So if you expect other people to accept responsibility, you've got to accept it yourself.
Yeah, you do. You do. So it's sort of, you know, I say...
Lead by example.
Look in the mirror before you look through the window. A lot of clients are like that. Look in the mirror before you look through the window. Look at yourself before you look at other people. And businesses are very good at expecting accountability in people. I've got lots of businesses I've worked with for many, many years where the owners would say, I want you to come in and fix my people, Alan. Come fix my people. Come fix my people. Well, who appointed them? Mm. You did. It's not enough to expect accountability from people. Sometimes, and this might sound a bit silly, you actually have to train them in it. And now there's one huge reason why that's more applicable today than ever before, and that is we are bloody busy. I mean, I don't go anywhere where anyone in business is saying to me, geez, I'm bored, Al. Mm. I've got time on my hands, mate. What'll I do with it? I mean, it's not happening. Yeah, we've got more emails than ever. We've got more tasks than ever. We're connected to more people than ever. The social media is just unbelievable in terms of its tentacles. So we have this busyness issue to get through, and that becomes the excuse for accountability not being at a high level. But it's not enough to sort of bring someone into a business and say, well, you know, we expect you to be accountable. Sometimes people don't actually know how to do it. And that's not a silly thing to say, because by the time you organise your email, your paper, your time and your phone calls and your tasks and hopefully do some exercise and see your family stuff, it's actually not that easy. Mm. So the training and development's got to accommodate that as well. So, well, how do you get across all that to achieve the accountability? You might be someone who rates accountability and you really want to be accountable in your behaviours, but you're actually no good at it because no one's ever taught you. They just say, you should be accountable, son. You know, you're a young lady for what you're doing. We have to train people in it as well. So I've got clients who are dealing with hundreds of emails on a day, hundreds coming in and going out per day, sitting in an office, wondering which way is up. And you can't really blame them for not being fully accountable for what they're doing.
It goes back a lot of years, though. A lot of us aren't held to accountability when we're young.
Oh, that's a much, much, much bigger issue, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think it's learnt. It's learnt behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're allowed to get away with things when you're young, then obviously you expect to get away with things and don't accept. Yep. So if you've done something wrong, you say, oh, it wasn't my fault, it was him, he made me do it.
Yeah.
If you don't, punished isn't the right word, but if you don't get to be made accountable for that action, then all of a sudden, you know, oh, I got away with it that time, and it just keeps building. And all of a sudden, when you're older, that's just the way it
is. There has to, good point. There have got to be consequences of a lack of accountability, which, now, the minute we use the word consequences, everyone goes, shock, horror, what, are you going to kill people and fine them and reprimand them? I don't mean that.
No.
The consequence might be that there's a training issue that's got to be addressed. The consequence might be further encouragement's needed. You know, it doesn't have to be a negative consequence. There has to be a consequence if someone's consistently failing to meet deadlines or not behaving in the required ways. The other point to that is I heard a really interesting conversation on SEN a couple of days ago about coaching now in the AFL.
Mm.
And it's changed. And the challenges that people like a Mick Malthouse would face because of that generational gap between him and the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds where, I mean, David Parkin, who we had in the studio a couple of weeks ago, said, when I was coaching, you'd say, run through that brick wall. And they'd say, yeah, okay, yeah, how fast do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Now they'll say, why?
Yeah.
What's on the other side? So there's a real challenge in that for them. So accountability and managing it up can't just be about, we told you how to do it, we showed you how to do it, you didn't do it, so we're going to kill you for not doing it. There's a generational issue in this that has to be addressed with younger people and the new and I should be, and how we get across that rather than just being critical, saying, oh, well, Gen Y don't really get it, so you know they're no good and we'll move on sort of thing.
We're going to move on to a break. Come back with more Alan Rodway on the other side in just a sec.
On 1116 SEN, halftime with Tony Shebeki. For Melbourne's cheapest cars, number one for utes in Melbourne and boozebids.com.au. Bid, win and save on Australia's largest range of booze.
10 ways to build accountability. That's what we're talking about with Alan Rodway here at the moment, right through until 2 o'clock. And Alan, accountability has to be rated, doesn't it? If you don't rate accountability, then you can't be accountable.
You do. And the sporting teams are obviously outstanding at that. They hold everybody to account to everything. And I think we've talked about this a long time ago, Half. I remember a story when Alison Clarkson first went to Hawthorn.
Did you call me Half?
Oh, sorry, Shebex. That's shocking.
That's right. That's shocking. Accept responsibility for your mistake.
When he first went to Hawthorn and someone turned up 10 minutes late to training and the next morning the entire team was made to go swim in the ocean sort of thing at 6 o'clock in the morning. Actually true. And when he was asked, why would you punish the whole team for someone's misdemeanour? His answer was, what happens during a game when someone defaults on the expected behaviour?
Mm-hmm.
The whole team pays the price. And he wanted that ingrained in the team. It's an outstanding story. Now, should we do that in business? No, of course we shouldn't. Should we try to find the ways, though, to grow accountability across teams and within teams? Absolutely you should. So having we talk about these consequences and making them somehow team-orientated is really important, but there's got to be a signal sent to everybody that we do rate accountability. It's extremely important to us that we are accountable. So that old saying of, you know, every rule has an exception, that's actually really dangerous. In extreme circumstances, that's probably okay, but not in normal. It's not. If you make an exception, you don't actually have a rule anymore.
Mm.
You know, it's okay for an accounting firm to send out their invoices late in one month. Well, it's actually okay the next month. And if it's okay to not adhere to expected deadlines inside a team environment once, well, you've just broken the rule and you're inviting the same thing to be repeated. So the rating accountability very highly, not making exceptions, not allowing them and dealing with them when the accountability is broken is absolutely necessary to success for a business and, in fact, to any organisation.
Do you have to make an example of people?
No, absolutely not. I would not be doing that. Particularly in this day and age, you wouldn't get away with it legally anyway, but I wouldn't be spruiking it. It's case by case. Like, if you broke accountability, again, as I said before, I know you well enough to know that I could actually take you to task very simply. I could probably do it publicly with you, and you go, yep, I take responsibility, I'll change the behaviour, it won't happen again, I'll give you that commitment on. Whereas person B, if I took the same approach to them, you'd be hauled over the carpet. They could, you know, be highly sensitive to it, well within their rights to do that, and I'll get exactly the opposite reaction to them. So I don't think it's a one approach suits all in the way that you take people to task on accountability. It's very much a long-term process, but you can't allow the exceptions along the way whilst you're educating people in this being an essence of success.
But when someone accepts responsibility, we should applaud them.
Absolutely applaud them. And I don't, you know, I don't think that we're very good at that either in business. I think we're very good at jumping on people who aren't, but not recognising those who are. It's like the squeaky wheel. You know, we go to the people who are giving us trouble in business and spend 80% of our time with them rather than 20% of the high performers who sit back and watch what we're not doing for them. It's just silly.
Yeah, Malcolm Blight, I remember, used to talk about also the fact when he was at Geelong and the different directions that he had to take with different players. You're right, with guys like Brownless and that, I think he could berate them and they weren't an issue, but guys like Gary Ablett, senior, he would have to talk to a totally different way, otherwise he would just lose them for the day.
Absolutely. Didn't David Parkin say a couple of weeks ago here that, you've got to know your people? Liz Ellis, a couple of weeks ago, ran a training session with her in New South Wales, and she said that she rated the best coach of the Australian Diamonds was not the best strategist and was not the best netball coach. She was actually the woman who got to know her players best, demonstrated the care for them as people, engendered trust in them. It's almost like the Tommy Hafey thing. And because of that...
But you don't want to be their best friend.
No, but you want to be able to influence them. And so there is a big difference between best friend and high-level trust. So you take someone like Malthouse, Sheedy, Park and Clarkson, they're not necessarily the best friends of all of their players and any more than Liz Ellis was of this coach of the Diamonds. But the level of trust they have in those people is so high that they will allow their behaviours to be influenced by them. That's
someone once said, you don't have to respect me, but respect the position that I hold.
And the advice AFL I
coach
give.
Was it John Kennedy? It might have been, or it was someone around that. It might have been Alan Jeans. It was one of those older coaches.
Yep.
You don't have to respect me, but respect the position that I hold.
Yeah, and the more that personalities are removed from it, the better off you're going to be. It's about the process, and it's about the behaviour, and it's about the issue at hand, rather than you, me, who I like and who I don't. But if I don't have a bond of trust with you in the first place, I'm way less likely to listen to you. So that's what makes. Yeah, that's what makes running a business really difficult. We're damn busy, and yet we're supposed to create these wonderful bonds of trust with all of our people to be able to influence their behaviour. So everyone listening who's going, well, that's easy for you to say, Alan, that, you know, that's just damn hard to do, you're absolutely right. But if we ignore this and don't get across it, your businesses will fail because your people just won't perform. They won't uphold the accountability to achieve the results that we're trying to.
Dave out at Cranbourne says three players turned up late for that 6 a.m. beach session, so Clarko made the whole team turn up at 5 the next morning.
An even better example. Thanks, Dave.
We'll take our final break. Say goodbye to Alan Jesterty. Coming up to 2 o'clock, final word from Alan Rodway on the topic of accountability. Can you teach people to be accountable?
Absolutely you can. Because if it's not rated, go back to that other point, if it's not rated highly enough, they'll fall down. And if they're not trained in it, and if they don't accept responsibility, which was your point, Shebex, and not mine. The whole article's on yourcoachonline.com.au. It's got the whole 10 on there if people want to have a read of it.
Beautiful.
Thanks, mate.
Always good to have you in, mate.
Fantastic. Thank
Alan
you.
Alan Rodway joining us here, and you can catch him every Thursday here on Halftime. Half will be back next week as well to be with Al. And yourcoachonline.com.au is the place where you can get all of Alan's articles and even... The article written by David Parkin a few weeks ago, which
Absolutely.
The boys had a chat about. So a very interesting article. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't heard it, I think the audio's up on the SEN website, but definitely read David Parkin's article. Things I've Learned at 70, I Wish I Knew at 30, or a title similar to that. Great little title there from David Parkin. We're heading up to the 2 o'clock news here on Halftime. Still plenty to come after the news. Sports Central Plus, Radioactive as well. And our topic today for hashtag Radioactive SEN is, when did your team or favourite player jump the shark? I.e., when did a player hang around for too long? Or when did a club stick with a coach, game style or draft strategy for too long? You can join us on Twitter, hashtag Radioactive SEN, or you can phone us 9429. 11:16. A little bit later on the hour, we'll give you a call. Got some prizes to give away as well.